We are up to, we're up to the second of the Halalukas. This is the long one. So we're going to try to go through all the words and to try to emerge with a theme. As the basic theme of this Haleluka is our special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at the same time, an optimistic prayer, La'achris Hayomim, where that special relationship will be even more bolate. It will be even more clear. So I'm going to basically discuss this capital of Tehillim, assuming that it's all about a description of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu now. But at the same time, I want you to realize, and I'll point it out at the end in more detail, about how it's also a prayer for the future and for the Geula Asida. So let's begin. Hallelujah, ki tov, zamra elokeinu, ki noyim navos sehila. First of all, the word hallelujah, which we made reference to last week and the week before when we discussed Ashrei, so there's a discussion in the Gemara and Pesachim about whether it's two words, hallelujah, or if it's one word of halleluka. Halleluka, ki tov, zamra elokeinu, ki noyim navos sehila. And we pointed out that whenever it says elokeinu, so it's going to be reflective of a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's good to be Zamra Elokeinu, ki noyim navos sehila. Now what's the difference between a tehila and a regular praise? So this is something we also spoke about in the last kapitel. Tehila is always reflective of the things that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing. Amzu yatzarti. Anyone know the rest of the pasuk? Tehila si yisaperu. They will tell over my tehillos. Tehillos are always describing the things that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing. And sure enough, when we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim or we talk about other miracles that Hashem does, the reason we do that is a philosophic reason that we brought up last week, which is that it's very hard, or not really very hard, it's impossible to praise who Hashem actually is. We don't know who Hashem is. So we can only reflect upon the things that we see Him doing. And tehillah is a specific form of praise that's directed at the things that we see Him doing. So ha'aluka ki tov zamer lokeinu. It's good to have this praise relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki noyim navos sehila. Because the things that we see Him doing that we're able to praise are so beautiful and so na'im, so pleasant. That's our introduction. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Hashem is the Bonei Yerushalayim. And Nidche Yisrael Yechanes, and He is the ingatherer of the Nidche Yisrael, the people of the Jews who are been pushed off, Hanidachim, Meretz Ashur, those who have been pushed away, Dichoy, those who have been pushed away, He's Kones them. Now, there are two different words in Hebrew we speak about sometimes. One is to be Osef, to collect, and to be Kones. And the Malbim points out here that kones is a word that reflects a greater shmira. To be osef means I've collected lots of marbles. But to be kones has an added feeling of that I'm bringing it in. I'm kones, like Miloshin Kenisa. So you can gather scattered things, but then, you know, like a little kid who's like, I told you my daughter once, I was in her room. One of my daughters talks all the time in her sleep. So she wakes up in the middle of the night and she like looks up at me and she goes, these are my sodas. And then she goes back to sleep. Okay? So now, kones is that type of idea of like gathering something, but not gathering it just together, like cleaning up the marbles, but actually bringing them in. And that's what we describe Hashem. And these two lines, that's why I broke them up into sections, these two signs describe Hashem as a savior. He's the Bonei Yerushalayim. And we're going to see later in this piece that Yerushalayim is going to be reflective of a special relationship with Hashem. He builds Yerushalayim. He's Kones, the Nidche Yisrael. He's the Rofe. Nidche are those who are pushed away. Though the Jews were spread out all over the place. He's Rofe Lishvuru Leif. First of all, there's a big discussion about what comes first. Is Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Binyan Yerushalayim before Kibbutz Galios? Or does Kibbutz Galios take place first? We, Baruch Hashem, in our lifetime, are experiencing a real Kibbutz Galios. Again, is it the Kibbutz Galios? Will there be a great... We don't know how Hashem works. We don't know why Hashem does things. But more than ever, and we have to have a certain Hakaras, certainly a certain amount of Hakaras HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, there's a tremendous Me'arba kanfos ha'aretz, literally me'arba kanfos ha'aretz, over the past 40 years or so, a tremendous ingathering to Eretz Yisrael. Rofei l'shru leiv, Hashem heals the people who are broken, and he's mechabesh, like the chovesh in modern Hebrew. What's a chovesh?
Conquer.
No, that's kibush with a chaf. What's a chovesh? We need a chovesh, we need a chovesh. Anyone know? It's a first aid person.
Paramedic
or an EMT. Like when you go on a tiyul, whenever we go on a tiyul, we need a malava neshek and a chovesh. Malava neshek is an armed escort, right? Malave, like from a levaya. Malava malka, escorting. So it's a malava neshek and a chovesh. A chovesh is a person who can administer first aid. So Hashem is the Rofei L'shru Leiv, the Mechabesh L'atzvosam. And that I think is interesting that we describe Hashem in that way, that he relieves those who are broken, and atzvosam are people who are depressed. They're sad, they're crestfallen. And that's a very beautiful statement, that Hashem uplifts people from depression and from brokenness. Certainly Galus is not only physically taxing on people, that they live under a foreign rule, and sometimes maybe, certainly in our history, we've been killed and tortured, but almost you hear in the Navi that maybe even a deeper pain is the psychological pain of being in Galus. And the lack of, you know, today we know some of the boys went to Amona, something that when Klal Yisrael were thrown out of, evicted from Gaza, one of the, as much as there was pain in terms of like physically removing people and fighting a little bit, much, much more damaging. You know, bruises go away in a few weeks, but psychological damage is sometimes something that lasts with a person for a lifetime. And here Hashem is being described as the Rofei. We know in Parsha Shmos, Hashem says that Hashem is I'm the Rofei. And we think of that, oh, he makes us physically better. But psychological ailments are sometimes much deeper. They're actually called Chole Nefesh. They speak to the soul. I remember I was once on a bus when I first moved to Israel, and somebody came on the bus, and he clearly had some psychological problems. There was a little boy, a little Yerushalmi boy, sitting near me, and everyone was looking at this guy, and I said to the boy, like, you know, like, don't be scared. I think, I didn't know how to say it in Hebrew, so I said, I think yesh lo ba'ayot, he has problems, and v'chole, you know, something along those lines. And this little boy looked at me, and he goes, v'chole nefesh, lo ba'ayah. Choli nefesh, which is a beautiful statement of this boy. But it means that, and you know, there's something inside that's off. And Hashem here is described in very beautiful terms as someone who can uplift the downtrodden, and the people who are broken, and the people who are depressed. So that's our first statement, where we see how great Hashem is, how he is our Savior. Now we start to praise Hashem, but in a different sphere. Not because he's going to save us, but the greatness for who he is. Hashem is the Mone Mispar L'Kochavim. He counts the number of stars. And the Kulam Shemos Yikran. He has a different name for each star, which means that each star has a unique tafkid. Nothing Hashem creates is for no reason. We don't necessarily know why there needs to be a worm and why there needs, but everything in the creation has a purpose. Now, this is also, I think, a very powerful line. When I took a course once on astronomy, and we had a textbook. So the textbook had a really amazing statement. Now, the people writing the textbook couldn't be Modeh to Hashem, but this is as close as they can get. Listen to what they said. They had a nice Dvar Torah in my astronomy textbook. It said as follows. The Jews in the Bible are compared to the stars and to the sand. The problem is that if you think about one beach, how much sand is there in one beach? Millions upon millions and millions of grains. Billions, trillions. Certainly if you think about all the beaches in the world. But how many stars? So the textbook said that the ancients only knew about 10,000 stars. The Romans counted the stars, whatever, they counted 9,000 stars. So what kind of comparison is that? How can you say the Jews will be as numerous as the stars and the sand? The sand are billions, and the stars are only 9,000, 10,000, that's all you can see. Says the textbook, Kamash Malon, you see that the ancients somehow knew, and the ancients who wrote the Bible, they somehow knew that there were really billions and trillions of stars, just we can't see them. Something that modern science has only figured out recently because they're beyond vision. But somehow those authors of the Bible knew that to compare the Jews to the stars and the sand was the same praise. that you'll be billions and billions and billions because there are billions of sand and billions of stars. But the ancients didn't know that. But those authors of the Bible somehow knew something that we only figured out semi-recently when we got high-power telescopes. Well, it didn't say that Hashem wrote it. It said that the people who wrote the Bible. But the point here is that the David HaMelech is telling us that Hashem can count the stars. Now, why is that a praise of Hashem? The Romans were also able to count the stars. There are only 10,000 of them that you can see in a perfectly clear night with no light pollution, which doesn't exist anymore unless you're in the middle of a desert somewhere. But yet, why is Hashem being praised as the counts all the stars? Because David HaMelech knew there are millions and millions and trillions of stars. And this is the greatest praise. If we wanted to praise God's knowledge or his power, it's to say that he can count the stars. And each one, and that means that Hashem is not just all-powerful, but he's yored to the prat. He goes down to the details. Every single one of those stars, even the ones that are light years and light years away from us. You guys know what a light year is. A light year means the time it takes for the light to travel in a year. That's a tremendous... Light travels 186,000 miles a second. Light goes around the entire circumference of the Earth many, many times in a second. That's the speed of light. And the stars, if they're a light year away, that means you take that number, 186,000 per second. So you multiply that by 60. That's to get to a minute. You multiply that by another 60. That's to get to an hour. You multiply that number by 24. That's to get to a day. Now multiply that by 365. That number, which is many, many, many zeros, light travels that much, that many miles in a year. So a star that's 5 light years away is 5 times that distance from here. And that's why you could travel for many, many lifetimes in a high-speed spaceship and never reach some of the stars. And yet Hashem, and it's a awe-inspiring thought when you think about how huge the universe is. And Hashem knows and has a detailed account of every single one of those. There's a purpose for every single one. Is there no greater statement than the next line then? Gadol Adonenu v'Rav Koach, our God, the one that wants to have a relationship with me. Look how powerful he is. The president called you on the phone and said, you know, I really would like to get together for dinner. I want to hear your opinion about certain things. Let's talk. You'd be very touched. Wow, I'm so important. He wants to speak to me. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gadol Adonenu v'Rav Koach, v'Sfunato ein mispar. There, you cannot put any number on his knowledge. Look what he knows. And yet, Adonenu, he's my God. And how much detail does he pay? He's even ma'odeid anavim, Hashem. He even encourages the anavim, the poor people. Some lowly guy sitting on a street corner who has no money, even Hashem gives him like a little bit of inspiration. He cares about him. Right? We've got those stars that are light years and light years away. You realize, just to bring out that point a little bit about the stars, you know that if you and I were standing on a mountaintop far away and I screamed your name, it might take a second to hear it. But I mean, it's too far of a distance. But sound travels, what is it, like 800 miles an hour or something like that? So if we were 800 miles away or 1600 miles away on two mountaintops and I yelled your name, it would take a second or two for you to hear it because the sound waves need to travel to your ears. Light, we said, travels 186,000, 186,000 times 60, times 60, times 24, times 365, that's in 1 year. So if we were that distance away from each other, and I would go like this, it would take you a year to see it. Because the light is also waves, it has to travel to your eyes. If a star is 10 light years away, that means that when you go out now, and you see at night tonight a star twinkle, that twinkle, that whatever happened years ago. It took 10 years for it to travel to here. So you're 17, 18. So tonight when you go out and you look at a star and you see a star twinkle, you should know that star twinkled when you were 8 years old. It just took you 10 years to see it. That's how far away it is. Because it had to travel all that distance until you're able to see it with your eyes. It's a mind-blowing concept. And yet, he's Ma'odin Anavim. He cares about little me. And he's Mashpil Rishayim Adei Aretz. And he's going to take a tab on the Rishayim. He's not going to let anything go. Wow, how tremendously powerful is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the next section goes on to continue the praise. Anu Lashem b'soda. So come on, let's praise, let's say something. Look how great he is. Anu Lashem b'toda. Let's come forward to Hashem, let's give him thanks, let's give him a karban toda. Zamru lelokenu b'chinor. Let's, whatever we can do, whether it's a karban, whether it's on an instrument, a kinor, a harp, let's figure out a way to praise him. And again here, zamru, we said last time we learned together about tefillah, that a zemer is a very high level of praise. It's higher than other forms of praise. And because he's Elokeinu, because we have this relationship, we're not going to just anu, we're not just going to say, we're going to be zamer with a kinor, which is a higher level. And now we continue to praise some of the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does he do? He's mechase shemayim ba'ovim. He covers the heavens with clouds. Why? Hameich maritz matar. Because that's going to lead to preparing and to creating matar, rain, for the land. Meaning, we're talking about Hashem, we're praising Hashem as the controller of nature. So we already spoke about the stars. Now we're saying that he brings clouds, and the clouds lay the foundation for there to be rain, and that leads to matzmiach harim chatzir, that the hills are filled with chatzir, which means produce, with grass. So there's a flow here. He's mechase shemayim ba'avim, clouds, meichmar it's matar, which prepares, sets the stage for rain, and then hamatzmiach harim chatzir. And now the mountains will be covered with grass. And what's the result of that? And why did he do all of these processes? No sin of himalachma. Because he cares about the animals. He has to provide for the animals. Livnei orev asher yikro. And for the children of the raven that are calling out for food. What's the behema as opposed to the raven here? So the behema is easier to feed. So the behema just needs you to have food. Once the hills are filled with grass, the behemoths can go and they can eat. But the baby birds are stuck. Right? Are you my mother? Right? The snark, right? Remember, are you my mother? The bird is stuck in the tree, the little babies. We actually had right over here, outside a window here, some guys were trying to do shiluach hakein. We have a mother, and she's sitting on three little babies right now. In one of the windows up over here, of the building. It's a question if you can do it, if it's on the window of a building, because it's private property, but whatever it is, they don't make a bracha. But the livnei orev ar sheyikro, the little birds are stuck. They're at the mercy of the mother. Because if the mother doesn't bring back, or the father, I think the mother sits during the day, and I think it's the father who sits at night. So if the parents don't bring food to the chicken, to the babies, they have no food. They're stuck. They can't fly. They're stuck. So Hashem not only works out systems for the behemoths, but he also deals with the livnei orev ar sheyikro, that they're calling out. What do you mean they're calling out? Because they're stuck. They need help. Some of the farshim even point out, this is a little bit interesting suggestion, that the birds specifically have a unique problem. If you look at the birds here, you'll see. These are pigeons that laid that had eggs and now babies. The babies are very bright, bright yellow, even though the pigeons are like that dark pigeon color look. So some of the farshim say that there's even like a lack of relationship between the mother and the bird. Wants to say that the birds are less concerned for their young than other birds, than other animals, because there's like a disconnect between the mother and the child, because the child looks so different than the mother. So therefore the chickens need extra love and care from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they don't have that natural relationship with the parents. And that they're super helpless. And for that reason, we've shown them here on the Kapitel of Tehillim, speak about how worms grow in the feces, that the mother goes to the bathroom by the right in the nest, and then like maggots start to grow, and then the little babies are able to eat that. And again, the point here is not the specific science of how they're fed, but the point is that Hashem has infinite processes going on in the world in order to take care of all the different corners of creation. So that's the end of the third section, which was a elaboration on some of the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he is involved in Teva. And now David HaMelech tells us, therefore, what should you do? Now that we've seen how great Hashem is, we've seen how smart He is and how brilliant He is and how much He cares about us and His hashkacha. So now what should we do? We should have faith and we should enjoy the relationship with Him. Lo bigvura sasus yechpats. You should have faith and you should realize that your success and your being taken care of by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be B'Gvuras Asus. What do you think in the times of David HaMelech, what does the Gvuras Asus represent? An army, good, military conquest. Don't think it's going to come through the strength of your horses. And lo b'shokei ha'ish. What's a shok? Thighs. Shokei ha'ish yirtzeh. You're not going to be loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the strength of your thighs. Meaning it's not going to come through military. It's not going to come, says the Malbim, through over hishtadlus. Someone who works out all day. It's important to exercise. Someone who sits in the gym all day working out so he can have the hugest muscles, that's over his shadlus. That's more than that's necessary. We know, we describe that for panasa sometimes, people have to go over the seas. Mimerchok tavi lachma. From rachok, you have to sometimes bring. So David HaMelech is saying that that's necessary sometimes, but you should realize that, the strength of your army, you have to have a strong army. But the strength of your army and the distances that you travel with your strong legs, because, you know, you've been walking so much in order to go from town to town to make a parnasa. That's your hishtadlus. That's not the ultimate source. Rotza Hashem is yireyav. What does Hashem really want? What does He desire? People who fear Him. Es hamiyachalim lechasto. People who are miyachel. They have hope for Hashem's chesed. Shabchi Yerushalayim es Hashem. Halali Elokayich Tzion. Shabchi Yerushalayim es Hashem. Yerushalayim will praise Hashem. And it means the people of Yerushalayim. Halali, and again, they will sing praise. Elokayach, their God, Sion. Whenever we have Sion versus Yerushalayim, so Yerushalayim represents the Hamonam, the masses. They congregate in Yerushalayim. And Sion is a reference to Kimitzion Teitze Torah. Sion are the Chachamim, those who are by the gates of the city, studying. So there's a general praise of Yerushalayim by the masses, and there's a special relationship, Elokayich Tzion, my God, of those who are in Tzion, those who are dedicated to Torah, those who want to learn Torah, want to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we've got the basic relationship that Hashem has with the world, with the animals, with Teva. Then we have an additional relationship that's represented by Yerushalayim, how Hashem has a special relationship with His nation. And then there's an even deeper relationship for those who are Yireyav, Miachlim Lechasto, represented by Tzion, which is a whole other step of the relationship. I think Rav Kook writes in one place, I believe it is, that we speak about a Mamleches Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh, we speak about an Am Segula and a Goy Kadosh. There's a basic relationship that every Jew experiences with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just from the fact that he's part of the chosen nation, he's Jewish, Hashem has a special relationship with him. But that's a segula. That's Am Segula. Segula, someone says, like, oh, I'm doing a segula. What's a segula? A segula is something that doesn't have a reason. So why are you doing it? Okay, question. Why people do segulas? But a segula means like a treasure you find. If you, a guy wins a lottery, he's never worked a day in his life, he wins a lottery, he just got something that he doesn't deserve. It has no reason that he got it. Am Segula means there's a certain relationship that we have with Hashem just because who we are and who He is. But Goy Kadosh, how do you become Kadosh? Kadosh, Kadoshenu Mitzvah Secha, Vayekadesho, so you got to be Mekadesh yourself. You are an Am Segula, means you have a special relationship with Hashem, but that's a very baseline relationship. That's what we're calling Yerushalayim right now. That's something that everybody has just by dint of the fact that we're part of this very special nation. But besides being an Am Segula, what do we need to strive to be? A Goy Kadosh. We have to set ourselves aside. We have to do things and we have to foster a special relationship with Hashem. And that's Tzion. And then we say, if we do these things, we'll be blessed with tremendous good. Ki chizak brichei sha'arayich, Hashem will protect us. The brichim are like the hinges or like the lock and on the those ancient they would take that big piece of wood and put it down to block the door. So the part in the lock that goes into the door? The bolt. There you go, maybe the bolt. Ki chizek brichei sharayich, it's the bolts and it's the hinges. Beirach bonayich b'kirbech, and there will be blessing in your midst, bounty. Now the next pasuk, so there's protection and bounty. The next pasuk parallels that. Hasam gvulech shalom, your borders will be peaceful. And chelev chitim yaspiech, and you will eat the chelev. The chelev, chelev means the fat, but it means the good, the choice, right? The choicest chitim yaspiech. You will be satiated with the choicest chita, and that's keneged, right? We have both these psukim. The beginning of the psukim reflect each other. Chizek brichei sharayich with hasam gvulech shalom, and beirech banayich bekirbech. There will be bounty and bracha. Now, I didn't make the sheet properly. There should be a break there. That's the end of that section. That those who have faith in Hashem will enjoy blessing and protection. And now we get to the very end. And to, for me, this is my favorite part of the Kapitel of Tehillim, because I find it to be the most descriptive and the most poetic, for my ears at least. Here, we've been praising how great Hashem is. And we've been praising the bounty that one gets if they have faith in Hashem. But we have to take a step back and realize that that's not always true. There are tough times. There are times when Klal Yisrael is suffering on a national level. There's times when we're suffering on an individual level. So look at this beautiful imagery. Hashem is hashaleach imraso eretz. Sometimes he throws down from heaven gezeros. He shaleach amirot. He sometimes makes gezeros. And yet, ad mehera yoretz devaro. Even though he makes that amira, he very quickly chases after it with a dibur, with another statement. And what's that second statement, says the Malbim? That's his bittel of the gezera. Hashem sometimes throws down gezeros, but he's also willing to very quickly chase after the shliach and pull back the gezera. And now he gives some very beautiful imagery. Hanosein shele katzomer. Like, for instance, sometimes Hashem sends down a real snow, like tzemer. What's tzemer? Wool. And if you think of a sheep with wool, it's very thick. Sometimes there's heavy snow cover. And there's kfor, which is like morning frost. Ke'efer yifazer. It's spread like ashes. Mashlich karcho chafitim. He sends out a sheet of ice, kerach, kefitim, like slabs. And the imagery I have of like a lake that's completely frozen over. Lifnei karso miyamod, who's able to stand? Who can exist in such frigid temperatures? And it's just a very beautiful imagery here of like a snow-covered town. The lake is frozen over, the morning is cold with frost, and there's heavy snowfall. And yet, and that's representative of what? The gezeros, the bad times. It's frigid, it's cold. And yet, yishlach dvaro v'yamseim. We're picking up on that word dvaro again. He sends the negating words. He's yishlach dvaro v'yamseim. What's yamseim? Kafe namas. What's kafe namas? Instant coffee. L'names means to melt. Yishlach dvaro v'yamseim. He sends out, he makes a decision, he gives an utterance, and boom, what happens to all of the winter? What happens to the snow? It all melts. Yashev rucho yizlu mayim. He blows a wind, and all of a sudden the rain comes. All the frost turns to rain. I have like that imagery of like, I don't know, maybe I'll make a cinematic reference. Do you know in, I imagine a lot of you have seen The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So you know when it's all, it's like black and white, and then all of a sudden it like turns color, and everything is like all of a sudden shiny?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, someone takes like their wand and turns like the black and white, all of a sudden turns to color. So that's like the imagery I have. You have like this snow setting, everything's cold, and then all of a sudden it's like a time lapse. You know, people have like time lapse, they show a time lapse. All of a sudden it comes in the summer, and it's all of a sudden so pleasant outside, and it's hot, and it's nice to be outside. So that the seasons here are reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with us. That sometimes it's cold, and sometimes there's bad times, but we know that the winter has an end. And when the winter ends, the snow will melt, and it'll be good times again. What's the secret to this? Magid Devarav Liyakov, because Hashem taught to us his Devarav, the words of the Nevi'im.
who encourage us to do tshuva. Chukav u'mishpatav liYisrael.
Right, that same word of davar. He gave over that ability to negate the negative gezeros. He was magid to Yaakov. And chukav u'mishpatav liYisrael. He entrusted us with his mitzvos, with his Torah. Lo asachem l'chol gai. He didn't give this over to anybody else. U'mishpatim ba'yidum. They don't have any understanding of our unique laws. And yet, that's why we praise Hashem. Because we have a unique relationship with Him. And the end of the capital here ends with a very powerful message. Up until now, you've been very excited. It's been telling you about this amazing relationship that you have with Hashem. And even though sometimes there's bad times, don't worry, the winter will thaw and there'll be good times. But the stress at the end is, but what's the key to all of it? Torah and mitzvos, tshuva. If we do our part in the relationship, if we keep the mitzvos, we do tshuva, so then everything we described here will be the relationship that we enjoy with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And it's something that's unique, and we're praising Hashem for giving us that unique relationship with Him. Magid Dvarav L'Yakov, Chukav U'Mishpatav L'Yisrael, Lo Asalchem L'Chol Goy, U'Mishpatim Bal Yida'um. They don't know them. They're unique for us. Hallelujah. We praise Hashem. And as I mentioned, as much as this is a description of our relationship now with Hashem, it's also something that has to be kept in mind, that it's a prayer for Achris Hayamim, where all of this will be amplified so much more. When will it be that the Rishayim will finally be put down? Mashpil Rishayim, the Achris Hayamim. When will Yerushalayim finally be fully safe? When will, you know, Rav Soloveitchik and others were very adamant, certainly in the more Haredi camp, but Soloveitchik as well was very, very adamant that on Tisha B'Av, even though Nachem, when you read Nachem, some of it sounds a little bit funny nowadays. Like, it's an empty city, it's desolate, and there's nobody in it. What do you mean there's nobody in it? There's tons of people in, you know, go to a, go on your sukkahs, you go, if you go to a Simchas Beis Yoeva in Yerushalayim, everybody's dancing. You're going to say, this is a place, Ein Yoshev, there's nobody here? What do you mean? There's tremendous things going on here. And Rav Soloveitchik was very adamant not to switch the text of Nachem. Because he said, because until we have the Geula Shlema, until Yerushalayim is really kulo kadosh, until there's no longer the threat of enemies and it's a place that's saturated with Kedusha, we can't yet claim that we've reached that point where we could start praising Yerushalayim, that it's there. So Yerushalayim will be safe, and it's safe now. It's a safe place, but there's still so much more safety. There's bounty. Baruch Hashem, it used to be, you came to Eretz Yisrael, and I wasn't around, but my in-laws came 35, 40 years ago. 40 years ago to Eretz Yisrael. So they talk about how to get milk, they came to Harnof when Harnof was just being built. A guy would drive in with milk one in the morning, and that was it. That was your only opportunity to, you know, Harnof was like way off, out of the city. You couldn't get things. And you speak to people who came to Eretz Yisrael 20 years ago to make a phone call to America. It was $10 a minute. You had to wait online. Now you live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, we joke around, it's a third world country, but it's certainly not a third world country. You can live here. You know, they joke around, how do you make a small fortune in Eretz Yisrael? You know the joke? You come with a big fortune. So there's still challenges, and Parnassah is a big challenge still in Eretz Yisrael. But ultimately, you can live a really great life here on a gashmius level. You have all of the amenities that you have anywhere else, you can get them here in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a lot of bracha. I know, you don't have Romanian here, I know, but although now you do. But there are a lot of amenities. There's a lot of bracha in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. I mean, you know, we talk about that wand turning the darkness to light. You know, the land is covered with forests and greenery. It's beautiful. And yet we're still davening for the Geula Shlema. There's still so much more that we can gain. And the cold of the Golus. We're still in Golus. You know, you have to just open the newspaper and see the piguas that still happen. You see the troubles that we're fighting here with the government about Amona. Jew against Jew fighting. There's no greater statement of Golus than that. So we're very thankful for what we have. We're still fighting and praying for the Geula Shlema. And that's part of this Kapitel Tehillim, is not just a statement about how great it is and the relationship with Hashem, how great it is to have a relationship with Hashem, but how great it will be, Ba'achris HaYamim. And that's our heartfelt feelings and thoughts.